This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who desire to be. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about increasing your income, your productivity, and just generally having a better life while serving your clients better with America's most historically proven asset class, income property. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds. It's my pleasure to welcome David Merrill to the show. He is Director of Business Development and National Account Executive at Nationwide Eviction. And wouldn't it be great if you could have a single provider to help you with eviction services nationwide? Welcome, David. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jason. Hope you are.
Good. Good to have you. And you're coming to us from Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, in the past, as we had talked about before, this has always been a one-off deal. Either property owners could handle the evictions themselves when they come up. Hopefully that's not too often, but occasionally it's going to happen to all of us. You can do it yourself. You can have your property manager handle it if you have a property manager and you're not self-managing. Or you contact a local attorney service that is usually set up as kind of a mill where they do flat fee evictions for anywhere from maybe $400 to $600 or so, and they can do it. But if you have a portfolio in, say, 3 to 5 different metro areas nationwide, which is a good strategy for investors to be properly diversified, it's a little harder because you got to have different parties and deal with different companies everywhere. Now, I assume you're not a law firm, right, your company?
That is correct. I'm not an attorney, and our company is not a law firm.
Okay. And so you're a tech company, basically. And what do you do? Do you match customers with eviction service providers? Is that how you do it?
To a degree, yes. So we're a software solution to that age-old eviction problem.
Tell us more about that. How does it work?
Well, it really depends on the jurisdiction where your properties are. So as I'm sure many of you listeners are very well aware, especially if they have portfolios in multiple areas, evictions can be handled very, very differently, not just across state lines or county lines, but even sometimes within a certain city. As an example, the city of Houston has 16 different JP courts, and it seems like each one of those courts handles evictions just a little bit differently. So our solution for that is to allow you to file evictions online in a very standard and streamlined method. You can file it from anywhere in the country or outside of the country, if you'd rather. And then we send that information to a local attorney or service provider. You know the courts, they know the laws in that area, and they actually service the case for you.
So you're basically a referral network then, right? Would that be a proper way to understand the business model?
Yes and no. There are some states where you do not have to be an attorney to handle the evictions. So in some areas where a service provider is allowed, so we may use a third-party firm, or we may actually handle them ourselves. It just depends on that specific market.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And does the cost vary in different markets, or is it one price nationwide?
It varies widely. So as an example, in a city like Chicago, you might see evictions cost, even with our attorney who handles bulk cases there, about $350 per case. As an example, since I mentioned Houston, we handled multifamily evictions there for $75 per case, or single-family evictions for $85 a case. The most popular attorney in that area, we just had a client leave him and sign on with us yesterday who I've been working with that management company for some time. They listed that he was charging them $936 per case plus the court.
Oh, my God. That's outrageous. Wow. I've never heard of it being that high.
Extreme examples.
Wow. Right. Yeah. So $75 or $80, boy, folks, and $350 in Chicago, that's actually pretty reasonable, too, because I'm used to seeing services that are about $400 to $600. That's kind of what I'm used to seeing. But these are all attorney services. Now, when you talk about Houston being $75, $85, that's not, no attorneys required, right? And your company is doing that? Is that strictly a paperwork process? Or tell us why the price varies so much.
Well, to be completely transparent, which we always try to do, the numbers that I mentioned do not include court costs because those can vary from one county to the next beside each other. But essentially, the pricing for the services is going to be the same. So in Houston, when you go online, you need to file your eviction for your property. Take 2 to 3 minutes, provide us with the information we need for your case, including giving us the documents that we need. We'll populate the correct forms that you need. And one of the best parts of our value is if you're filing evictions yourself or you're paying a property manager who may oversee a single portfolio of properties, you have to deal with payment issues. We prepay your court costs for you, and then we'll let you know when we get the hearing scheduled for. We'll update you with the court date, and we'll attend that hearing for you as well. One of the things that still surprises me in Texas is that a lot of property managers are wasting anywhere from 10, 15, 20 hours per week or per month, just dealing with evictions. And there's a lot of other things they could be doing during that time.
Yeah. So you have someone go and attend that hearing. Is that an appearance attorney that you're using? By the way, folks, for those of you who may not know, I only recently learned about this idea because I'm trying to collect from a guy in Texas right now, actually. And this is not on an eviction. This is just on another matter. Then one of my California attorneys actually told me that there are these people called appearance attorneys where for $65, maybe $95, depending on what they're doing, they'll just go and appear for you. They're actual attorneys and they'll appear at a hearing or even a deposition or all kinds of things for you. I can't imagine they would be, it would be possible for them to know anything about what's going on in any real detail, but they will appear. So that's kind of interesting. Is that how you're doing it with appearance attorneys, or how can you be in all these areas? That's incredibly complex.
Cases can be handled with appearance attorneys in states like Georgia and Florida, but in Texas, when we represent you for your case, not only do we file out the case with a court on your behalf, but our staff attends the hearing for you as well. And the reason we're able to do that is because the way Texas law is listed, it allows for non-attorney representation. So we can provide that service to you acting as an agent on your behalf, and it saves you quite a bit of money.
Wow. So $75, $85 plus court cost. And I know this varies, and you may not know this off the top of your head, but any idea what the court costs are? I just want to get some sense for the listeners.
In Texas, it varies from $111 to $131.
Okay. So for about $200, you can get your eviction done. David, that's fantastic. What about after the eviction? You know, one of the things I see so many investors just leaving it on the table is they don't bother to get a judgment against the tenant. Can your company help with that, or do you strictly get them out and then the judgment is up to the owner to go and pursue that?
We will really try to stay away from the judgment part of it because there can be so many potential fatal flaws with that. I personally feel that people should go after that as often as they can. But of course, that's going to be an individual decision.
Right, right. And just to explain that to the listeners, you know, this is really a two-step thing, not in all cases, but in a lot of them. You know, the tenant stops paying you rent, and then you file for eviction, and eviction basically just stops the bleeding. You want to get them out so you can get the property ready and lease it to a new tenant and start producing income again. But a lot of times, that tenant is obviously behind on rent, and they owe you money, and their security deposit may not, but not always, may not be enough to cover it. Maybe they've left some damage to the property too, and you've got to pay for that. So that's when you can go to court and get a judgment against them. And, you know, those judgments can be renewed forever. Folks, I'm telling you, you'll collect on a lot of these things if you just pursue them. It's worth it. Don't just let them off the hook. You know, too many investors, it seems like they'd rather have a story about how they got screwed over by a tenant than have the money. I'd rather have the money. but that's true. So you don't deal with the judgment part, but at least you'll get the eviction done for them, right?
That's correct. We'll handle the case from the end of the notice all the way through the writ. And then we're working on a couple other products that I'll be happy to call you back about in the future that may help with other areas of property management around the eviction areas.
Fantastic. Can you give us any clues on that, or are they top secret?
They're still top secret right now because they're in development, but we're very, very excited about them. And one of the products that we're working on, we think is going to absolutely revolutionize the way single family homes are being managed.
Wow, fantastic. That sounds pretty darn exciting. This is single family homes, I believe, are the most historically proven asset class in the world. Single family income properties done right. And the part that makes or breaks the thing is in the management. That's the frustration of most investors. You've got to learn how to manage your properties or learn how to manage your managers, one or the other. If you have any thoughts about some of the more landlord-friendly markets and least landlord-friendly markets around the U.S. in the markets you do business in, if you have any thoughts on those. Of course, my former home, the Socialist Republic of California, very landlord-unfriendly. New York, very landlord-unfriendly. Texas, very landlord-friendly. Any thoughts about that in different places around the country? Arkansas, the most landlord-friendly state in the entire country, in my opinion. Thoughts there?
Well, you're definitely right. And you mentioned a lot of the same states that I would highlight as well. I think that's one of the things that you look at as you're buying investment properties. It's certainly one of the things that I look at. I would certainly be a lot more interested in buying property in a state like Arkansas, Texas, Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, than I might be in somewhere like Illinois, someplace like New York or Connecticut or Massachusetts or California. And I actually just met one of your colleagues, Fernando Arias, in California, in San Francisco, for the National Apartment Association. And he and I had some pretty interesting talks about that. And in preparation for the trade show, I was speaking with a law firm there, the senior partner, and he was telling me about some of the very interesting things that California does to protect residents. And I'm all for protecting residents, but ultimately, this is something we're all doing for investment. It's a business decision. I was very shocked to hear that in California that somebody's eviction record is actually sealed. I believe it is for 60 days so that they can go find another property. That seems like that's information that a property manager or an investor would want to know about a potential resident before allowing him to move in.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I've thought about that one, and that's interesting that you bring that up, David. In a way, it kind of helps get that tenant out, though. It may not be a great service to the new landlord, but to the old one, it kind of is. Because if that's not on their record for 60 days, they can go get another property and get out of yours, you know? So it's sort of a catch-22. I can see that from both sides. And listen, I'm no apologist for California. I can't stand it there. I mean, it's just, you know, it's ridiculous. Look, I live there the vast majority of my life, but it's a ridiculous state. It's very hard to do business there. As long as I employed people in California, I swear to God, the state did not want me to employ anybody. They made it so difficult. It was absurd. But yeah, you know, invest in markets that are friendly to your cause as a landlord. That's one of the elements. You mentioned Illinois, and I agree with you that it's not the most landlord-friendly market for sure, but it's not as bad as some others. Interestingly, and we resisted doing business in this market for a long time, but in some of the Chicagoland areas, the deals are pretty good, even as mismanaged and as left-wing as it is. The numbers are just, they're good. So, you know, you look at a variety of factors, and it's sort of like finding the perfect spouse, right? The perfect spouse does not exist. Princess Charming and Prince Charming do not exist, right? But, you know, you take a little bit of bad for mostly good. You know, there's some things that bug you about your spouse, probably. But, you know, overall, it's a good deal, hopefully. And that's the way it is with a property. You've got to kind of weigh this stuff out. And it's a trade. There are always trade-offs in life. But, yeah, some of these trade-offs are just too vast. And interestingly, the landlord-unfriendly markets tend to have very poor cash flow. So, and very bad, what I call LTI ratios, land-to-improvement ratios. So they really don't make sense in any way at all. So I just want to highlight a couple of features. Tell us about smart eviction technology a little bit, if you would. I know you've alluded to this, but is there anything more you want listeners to know?
Certainly. Smart eviction technology is a very easy concept, and I did allude to that a little bit. Simply put, that's what allows you to file your evictions for your Miami properties the same way you would for your San Diego properties and the same exact way you would for St. Louis. It's a standardized form that will adapt itself based on the local needs. So as an example, in Georgia, you do not need a lease, a ledger, or a notice when you're filing your eviction. But in Texas, you need all three of those plus an SCRA form. So our system adapts based on what the requirements are there and also the type of eviction you're doing. So if you're filing a non-payment of rent eviction, that's going to be very different than what it would be for, say, a criminal activity eviction.
Yeah, right. So a criminal activity eviction is like a breaking a covenant. If you find that your tenant is drug dealing out of the property, you can evict them for that, even if they're paying you. And, you know, but you might just negotiate with them and see if you can get percentage rent on the drug dealing. That is a joke, by the way. I always thought those meth labs with percentage rent would be a pretty good deal. Listeners, just understand that I say some of this stuff for purely entertainment value, okay? you know, Breaking Bad. Okay, so it simplifies that process and makes it easy. How many evictions has your company done? How old is this? Give us an idea as to, you know, the company a little bit.
The concept started back in 2009. And we started doing business in 2010. Because we are a private company and we try to keep things, some things close to the chest, we don't really divulge that information. But I can tell you there are some major markets where we are handling between a quarter and a third of all of the evictions done in those major metropolitan areas. And then when you consider states like Maryland, where Maryland, you may file an eviction on somebody several times before you get the judgment absolute, that should give you a pretty good concept that we're doing quite a few cases every month.
Wow. Yeah, I bet you are. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. You have a video on your website about collections. I know that you don't handle the judgment part of it. Do you have any suggestions on collections or how people should handle the judgment aspect of an eviction if there is a judgment opportunity?
The first thing I always recommend to people is make sure you're handling all of your cases the exact same way. You never want to handle things for one property differently than you handled the previous or the next property. And I think that goes with collections as well. We're not a collections company. We have an interface with a collections provider, National Credit Systems, that allows you to file your evictions through our system, and then any information you've put in our system will then get sent to NCS when you select it. I really think it's finding what solution works best for you. So if you are somebody that owns a handful of properties and you're looking to get more into it, I would definitely send those out to a professional service provider. It's really the companies that are that mid-size range that try to do it internally. Mm-hmm. I think those may be a good fit in those cases. But most of the time, using a professional service provider like that is almost always going to be your best bet. And especially from what I've seen in collections, there are so many things that could potentially go wrong and potential liability concerns. I'd want to make sure those are all handled the right way every time.
Okay, so first of all, what do you mean by a professional provider there? What do you mean by that? A debt collector, hire a collections company? Is that what you mean?
A debt collector, a collections company, or an attorney that handles those types of things. We have a great attorney in the Tidewater area of Virginia that does a great job with collections. He is definitely somebody that I would recommend, or companies like ProCollect, NCS, Rent Recovery Solutions. All of those companies do a great job, and they don't get paid on the collections until you do. So it's in their best interest to do everything that they legally can to help you get paid.
Right, right. Fantastic. Okay. Any tips that you want to give the listeners just on anything, maybe something I haven't asked you, just any tips about how to deal with their tenants, how to possibly prevent an eviction and make sure that you don't get there. Of course, that's your business, so this may be counter to your ultimate goals, but just any suggestions you have on how to better manage properties, manage evictions, and so forth.
I would definitely recommend use standard forms whenever possible. So that could include something like a notice to vacate all the way through your lease. Anytime you can use something like that that's accepted generally in your area, that helps set you up to be successful. And that's ultimately the best way to win cases like this, to either be successful with your eviction or be successful in getting paid so you don't have to file an eviction. And ultimately, that's the best case scenario for everybody, including for us. So that would be one of the first things I would say. And then just because you're about to file an eviction on somebody doesn't mean that you can't talk to them. If you have a handful of properties and you've got a relationship with your renters, I would always say talk to them, work with them. Just because you've provided a notice to vacate doesn't mean that you can't accept money from them in most cases. Again, that could vary based on states. But again, try to have a relationship with them, because if you can avoid filing in the first place, that could potentially save you some money and get you paid. And I've heard of people do cash for keys.
Yeah, and I just want to, okay, that's a good one. We'll get back to that. But I just want to expand on what you were saying there. You said that in many states, even if they're in the eviction process, you can accept money from them. Be very careful with that. And I'm sure you would echo this because, for example, I believe it's California. If you accept any money from them, you got to start the whole process over. And that could just, you know, if they give you $50 and they owe you $3,000, you might have to just start over and that'll buy them another 60 days possibly, right? So you got to be careful with that. But I do agree with you. Keep the lines of communication open. One of the big mistakes when people get into disputes, so many of these things could just be prevented if people would just talk. You know, it's amazing to me how that is in the world. But any thoughts there? And then I want to ask you about cash for keys too, because that was a very good point.
I think you really covered it. And if somebody knows that you're willing to work with them and they're not one of those people that will just try to take advantage of you, because unfortunately those people do exist. People want to be happy where they are. They want to live in a nice place. And personally, I hate moving. So if I can avoid moving, I'm going to do anything I can to prevent myself from having to move.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. You have a great little sort of calculator, if you will, almost on your website, where someone can just go and they can put in the zip code of the property and it instantly calculates the fees. And so the fees consist of the court fees, okay, that are just the public court, what they charge, plus the attorney or service provider fee. And so, for example, I put in my zip code here in Arizona, and I see that the eviction will cost, and this is the breakdown, $58 as a court fee, $25 sheriff fee, an attorney fee of $135, so that's $218. And then, if necessary, the writ of possession. And that consists of three things, a court fee, a sheriff fee, and an attorney fee, totaling $191. So for both of these, it's $218 plus $191. Is that how that works?
That's correct.
Right. But the writ of possession is not always necessary, I guess. Tell us about that a little bit.
It's not. Sometimes after you get possession, your resident will go ahead and move out as per the order of the court, but they don't always do that. Sometimes you do have to have law enforcement, a sheriff, a constable come to the property, and you have to physically remove that person from the property. And that means moving their things out, depending on the state. That can vary based on how you have to store it or how you remove it, and then you change the locks. Unfortunately, we see that happening more often than we think it should, but one of the things that I think personally property managers should do more often is making sure that they're going through that writ process. In some states, Texas being a good example of this, you can file an appeal on losing possession as a resident and do so up until that writ is filed. So if I get possession for a case today, you can go to the court on Friday, appeal that case, and then you have to hear that case all the way over from the beginning on a different level court. But if I get that writ filed,
and how much time would you lose in that case? Would you lose another 3 weeks or a month? I mean, that's could be disastrous for a landlord, right?
It can be. In most cases, you are losing several weeks on that process because there's going to be a process.
Time is money.
It is. There's a process to get that scheduled. There are certain steps that can be taken as well, but ultimately you may be going from a magistrate or JP level court up to a county level, depending on, again, what state that's in, and you'll see a lot of additional delays. And then when you see other things that happen that tend to be a little bit more resident friendly.
I want to share a mind-blowing example with listeners. You know how I did that calculation, and I'm just using your website. This is fantastic. I love this. I'm using your website to do the calculation. I plugged in my old zip code in Orange County, California, and it just shows you landlord friendliness versus non-landlord friendliness, right? Arizona being far more friendly than the Socialist Republic of California. You remember those fees I just said a moment ago? This is going to blow your mind, listeners. Wow. Listen to this. Remember, there's two sets of fees. There's the eviction, then the writ of possession, if it's necessary. Okay, so this is in the 92660 zip code, which is Newport Beach, California. Okay, the court fee, the difference is amazing, and I don't have the other fees in front of me, but I did say them just a moment ago. The court fee in Newport Beach is...
You had mentioned, I believe it was $58 for your current zip code in Arizona, and then I believe $25 for the sheriff and $131 for the attorney fee.
Yeah, absolutely. So get this. You ready, listeners? I hope you're sitting down. Because just for the eviction in Newport Beach, the court fee alone is $240. The sheriff fee, instead of, I think, being $25 or something, is now $145. And the attorney fee is $310, the total cost being $695. Unbelievable. And then the writ of possession, somewhat in line with the other, of $175 total. But $695 versus, I think, what did we say in the last one, $191 or something? Unbelievable.
It's, I believe it was $218 and
$195. Wow. Just that's insane. That is just insane. So you can go and you can plug in the different zip codes in which you own or are thinking of buying properties, and you get an idea. That's a barometer right there for the tenant friendliness versus the landlord friendliness of that court system. Very telling and very interesting. Tell us about Cash for Keys. Now, this is something that if you watch that documentary I recommended, or that movie, maybe it's not really a documentary, it might be more of a movie, 99 Homes or 99 Houses. It's on Netflix. It's great. Talking all about the ground zero for the foreclosure crisis in Orlando, Florida, which was fascinating. And you know that during the Great Recession, lenders giving borrowers or tenant occupants of properties that were foreclosed on what's called cash for keys to just get them to move out was a common practice. And people also occasionally do it with tenants as well. And the more landlord friendly the market, the less likely you'll have to do this. The more tenant friendly, the more likely you might have to do something like this. Anything you want to tell us about cash for keys?
I don't hear about it very frequently, and my first exposure to it was before I got into the industry. I was during the end of the economic boom and the beginning of the Great Recession. I was dating a foreclosure attorney, and she told me that she was doing this with a couple folks, that they were just offering cash for keys to get people to move out of foreclosure properties, and the concept just amazed me. And then I saw the same thing happen to one of my best friends. The property that he lived on in Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, the owner of the property wasn't paying their mortgage, so the property was being foreclosed on, even though he was renting it and paying rent. So the foreclosure company offered them cash for keys, and they were out within 10 days.
Yeah, yeah. It's money makes the world go round. It sure does. Yeah, good stuff. Well, David, let's wrap it up. Give out your website. Any closing comments you have?
You can always find us at nationwideeviction.com, www.nationwideeviction.com. And I think the final best practice that I really do want to offer to everybody is set a standardized eviction filing date. Depending on the state, you may be able to file evictions as early as the 8th, sometimes sooner than that. But the faster you file your eviction, the faster you get to court, the faster you get that non-paying resident out, and the faster you get somebody back in that property that will pay you rent. So it's definitely something I recommend very, very highly. And if you're doing these evictions yourself, that's fantastic. But just ask yourself, what else could you be doing with that time?
Absolutely. There's always that opportunity cost question and that highest and best use question. And this is not the best use of your time. So this is a great service. I'm really glad we had you on the show. And I think a lot of our clients will be interested in taking advantage of it. Thank you so much for joining us, David Merrill.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
You know, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Penny, because Jason actually has a 3-book set on creating wealth that comes with 60 digital download audios.
Yes, Jason has that unique ability to make you understand investing the way it should be. It's a world where anything less than 26% annual return is disappointing.
I love how he actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I also like how he teaches you to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered at a savings of $94.
That's right. And to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series, complete with over 60 hours of audio and 3 books, just go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.